Dear friends in Jesus, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A word from our sermon text, Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19a. Do not remember the former things. Do not keep thinking about ancient things. Watch. I'm about to do a new thing. This is the word of God. We live in an age of newness. New homes, new games, new toys, new gifts, new technology, new projects, new jobs, new schools. New things are happening all around us. Does anyone remember when the internet was new? I do. I remember that one. Does anyone remember when touch screens were new? That was something actually functional and new. Didn't know it was going to be as big a thing as it has become. Seems almost impossible. Do you remember when the teenagers sitting near you were new? Like new little babies? Or maybe older or younger people? Maybe you remember when some of your fellow members here at Bethlehem were tiny, or some of your friends you came to church with today. Maybe you grew up together and everything was new. It's as great as past things are, they're nothing. They're nothing compared to the new, are they? Maybe. Maybe not. Because if nothing compares to the new, we might be forgetting that a lot of new things are actually old things repackaged. That a lot of new things maybe weren't all the hype they were said to be. Maybe there's a lot of excitement surrounding new things, and then, oh, I don't know, 3 months ago you got that new gift for Christmas and it's gathering dust in a corner of your house, whether it was a book or a toy or a game or something you knew you loved because it was new and you knew you'd spend time on it, but, well, I don't know. New homes start to fall apart. New projects bring frustration. New people you meet turn out to be not so trustworthy. New pastors make you wonder, how long has it been since that guy has been here? Isn't he ready to move on? I hope not. New strengths may turn into new weaknesses, new relationships. Well, as it turns out, every time, and we have a few new babies on their way in the congregation, it's going to be so exciting to have those new little ones. But as it turns out, it's going to be the same old story, isn't it? There's still going to be little sinners. And the corruption of the human heart will still continue. New mothers will make new mistakes. New fathers too. New grandparents, new friends. Because the condition of the human heart is such that we corrupt new things and show how the old truths still stand. And how maybe after a while, nothing new really lasts. And what Solomon said is true. There's nothing new under the sun. But today Isaiah says, except for the gospel. There's something new in our text. Today God invites us in on a new thing. And when all the old things or all the new things, which are really repackaged old things, couldn't cure the human heart, couldn't really renew us, it turns out what God is about to do actually can renew us. Actually gives us a lot of new promise and a great deal of new hope. So today, friends, maybe you've brought in old sins and new frustrations, new sins and old, old sins like clothes that just won't come off because they just seem so stuck to you. Today, friends, God wishes to robe you with new righteousness and give you new power to battle your sins and remind you that whatever sins plague you, He's put away for good. These are the new things God does. An eternal God, a God who's been around since forever, literally, same old God, but brand new victories. And if you walk out of here with anything, I want you to know, God has brand new victories in store for you. It's all sourced in the gospel, and I'll show you how we get there. God's new thing is the long-awaited gospel. Here, with the same old God, promising to do something entirely new, actually points to some old examples. Did you hear it? It sounded a little bit like the Exodus when he talks about putting a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. There's some parallelism going on, but you've got to think of it. You've got to think of the Red Sea, right? That age-old Exodus when God brought his people out of slavery. He brought them out of oppressive Egypt. And it seemed like they were stuck. They were all ready to complain as they followed Moses, what, to the edge of a sea? And then, what did God do? He stacked up those waters on both sides, like two walls, so that the path before them was dry. Man, that must have been such a new thing. What a new type of experience with a new kind of God. None of the Egyptian gods would have ever been able to do anything like this. After he shamed them all with his 10 plagues, this new true God was actually the same old God they always had. The one who promised the age-old covenant to Abraham. And he was ready to renew it with his people. And then when they got to the gates of the Holy Land, when they got to the Jordan River, he did the same thing. Only because it's a river, he only had to wall up the one side, to stack up those waters and cause them to stop flowing. And again, they walk with the Ark of the Covenant and all their regalia 40 years later across that Jordan River. Same God, new exciting things, new victories for the people. And he'd show them many more victories. Jericho, Jerusalem, King David, so many good promises, so many new things to come. But by Isaiah's time, it was important to predict judgment. Because these people, only a few generations later, really in the same generation, would take these new things and immediately thrust them from memory and fall back into their old sins. They wouldn't treat these new things as if they were new. And in that way, the ancient Hebrews might be a whole lot like Christians today on the fifth Sunday of Lent. God's given you new things. Some of you are in a new church. Some of you are in a new school. And you've approached the season of Lent. You've seen the new pyramids, the new cross, beautiful new cross. A couple of our members collaborated on and built, and it's beautiful. A new building, well, I guess it's 2015, but it still feels new. I love walking in here every day and seeing this new window still feels new. But then I'm plagued by old sins. Here we are, fifth Sunday in Lent, and sort of those persistent nagging sins that I thought I would put off and set aside and maybe even defeat for once and for all still stick with me. And maybe you have similar frustrations. Maybe you still pick arguments with your spouse. You still get mad at your mom and dad when you know there's no good reason to be upset. And you still have frustrations with the person at work. You still have some difficulty getting along with the internet, even though you know you've been down those dark roads that lead you to temptation. You still find yourself in those dark places. You know all the commandments that you continue to break. We all gather up those sins today and we hold them up to God and ask, what am I supposed to do with all of these things? I thought you were going to do a new thing. I thought you were going to take them away this Lent. I thought you were going to help me. And then all of a sudden we realize we're blaming Jesus for the things that we committed, for the problems that we made. for our own sins. And we discover we have to repent again. And so it's good, brothers and sisters. It's good that God shows us what this new thing is, isn't it? Because he doesn't say, okay, go back to the old things, go back to the old Exodus, go back to the old covenant and just try and do better. Go back and win my favor by old righteousness that no sinner has ever been able to complete in the past. He doesn't just remind us of old things, but here in Isaiah, God tells us he's going to do something entirely new. He's going to present the gospel to us. And that is the new thing. See, Isaiah was looking ahead to the gospel that would come. Now, some would say, what about the captivity, Babylonian captivity? He must be talking about that in context. And he is, because the people would be punished for their sin. They would be dragged over to Babylon, and they would be stuck there for 70 years before Cyrus the Great, the Persian, would send them back. And then they'd have to rebuild. But as it turns out, this next thing never really happened in the wasteland or in the wild. On their way back, they never saw springs shooting up and rivers recreated in the wasteland. Instead, Isaiah is talking about wasteland and wild of a different nature. The wastelands and wild of our sin. So he must be talking about something much bigger. Isaiah must be talking about the one who we already sang about today. The one who would go around and open eyes like a flowing spring in the desert in a wasteland. Give people senses they never had. Allow the deaf to hear. Bring healing to those who couldn't walk. And bring blessing to those who were crushed under their sins. If for no other reason to come to God, not just for healings, but for their soul and for soul's redemption. The same Jesus who would do a new thing by being the kind of God who wouldn't just express his power and his might and wall up waters, but bring forth the springs of forgiveness in his own suffering and death. A well that flowed forth from his side on the cross. A demonstration of his love and mercy. And not only that, a word of comfort. A new thing for you. Not only this old thing that happened 2,000 years ago, but this new thing for you today. Because the same Lord who died on the cross for you knows your struggles right now. He knows the sins that cling to you and the persistence that's stuck on you through your sinful nature. He knows the devil who continues to tempt you, and he knows how to destroy his powers. So today, as we consider Lent, we know God has crushed a lot of things along the way. He's crushed condemnation. That's what he told us last week. He's crushed the might of the devil in this way too. He crushes his enemies. And when your enemies are his enemies, he does a new thing and crushes your enemies as well. Because he's redeemed you with so much love. As it turns out, this new thing also means the end of an old thing. An old thing that convicted us and condemned us to death in the old law is now gone and put away with. And the new thing is this very good news about a Jesus who cares for you and gives you good gifts. So, brothers and sisters, how does Jesus give you good gifts in this wasteland of sin? Well, there has to be something sacramental about this, doesn't there? To think of springs, simple things that give life, like water flowing forth in the wilderness. How can you not think of the water that Jesus has poured out on you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, which really and truly and effectively takes away the sins of a little one and a big one, however old you were. Baptismal waters that continue to forgive you. Promises that stick with you. Even if the mountains should move, God's promises stand firm forever. Or think about the bread that God offered the people in the wilderness, almost foreshadowing the bread that Jesus would give on that Maundy Thursday when he said, "Take and eat, this is my body." Unmistakably for your forgiveness. He doesn't say it suggests my body. He doesn't say this hints at his body. He might as well have taken the meat on the table. He says, this is my body. Don't have to understand it. Trust it. And know that I mean what I say and I can do exactly as I tell you. And take and drink. This is my blood. It's not just wine. It is that. But in some way we cannot comprehend. God means to spring forth with forgiveness day after day, week after week, and for you to draw from those wells. Let the springs flow. Let the waters pour into my heart, because I can't do this, Lord. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace. And I need the new thing that you do for me and for all my people. And the last verse in our text that God gives us that may help us by refocusing our hearts on the task at hand is this. This people that I formed for myself will declare my praise. And that is to teach, to tell other people about forgiveness. You think maybe if we focus on that a little bit more, showing people the way to heaven, declaring forth his praises, we might spend a little less time getting stuck in our sin. And a little time with a mission that God's given us to spread the message, to tell the world that these springs of life are for them as well. And there's nothing on earth that we desire, as we just sang in Psalm 73, besides for the one in heaven. So brothers and sisters, take this message. Show the wellspring in the wasteland. Tell everyone the praise of God, because there's no greater praise than telling about God's promises and how he has done for you something entirely new. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand.